speak with passion.
Right. Oh, I can speak with passion. Oh, man, I got to tell you, I love doing this. And I've now had the opportunity over the last couple of years to speak to men about depression, about the Men at Risk program. I've had a chance to speak to over 1,000 men in all different kinds of settings, and I talk about this journey that I've been on. And it's the coolest experience, folks, man, when you stand with a group of, you know, these men, and from the moment I start talking until I'm done, I've got their attention. Oh, I can speak with passion. Why? Because of what I experienced. I know what I'm talking about. I actually got something to say when I stand up in church on Sunday mornings, too. Every Sunday.
Which church?
I go all over to rural Alberta. Forestburg, Castor, Bashaw. I get to go to Messiah right now every fifth Sunday, which is my home congregation. That's a hoot. You know? I get to go to the church of my great-grandparents and my grandparents and my parents and my aunts and my uncles and my cousins and my kids and myself and Maureen. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
How would you describe your faith?
Pardon me?
How would you describe your faith leading up to the years leading up to losing the farm?
Excellent. Oh, I love it. Oh, man, that is a good question. When I was in confirmation, I was asked to write a faith statement. I said a really good faith statement because I wanted to get out of confirmation and I wanted to pass. And I wrote this faith statement, which was really, really good theology, but it really wasn't what I believed. I didn't really realize what I believed until I was 46 years old and had my face in the dirt and wanted to die. And I realized that what I really believed, and if I was going to be authentic and real at 15 with what did I really believe, and really that's what we should be, you know, when you're asked at 15 to write a faith statement, you should really be saying, what do you really believe, right? This is what I really believed at 15. If you work hard and live a good moral life, God will bless you. That's what I really believed. And you know what? When you're 20, not that I wasn't aware of it, right? I wasn't consciously aware of it, but that's what was the work inside of me. And you know it worked. I led a good moral life, man, and I worked hard, and this farm was, I remember. You know, I'm doing Thanksgiving and just thanking God for all the blessings that we got, you know, on our farm, you know, and it was doing so great with all these awards. And, you know, and I married a vibrant, beautiful young woman, and all these kids are coming in. And, you know, I was 25 years old. I was president of the Kamloops Regional Exhibition. I'm not sure why, but I was, you know, involved in church, I was involved in politics provincially. Well, absolutely. You know, you work hard, you live a good moral life, God will bless you. What happens when your life starts falling apart? If you believe that if you work hard and have a good moral life, God will bless you, what happens when the rug gets pulled out from underneath you? Must be cursed, right? Must be cursed. I can remember being on that land, that farm, at night looking up into the stars, okay? Looking up into the stars and screaming the top of my lungs and saying, what the hell have I done to piss you off? Because you see, if you believe that what you've got is a blessing from God, what are you supposed to do when you're losing everything, right? What are you supposed to believe? I thought, honestly, I'm 46 years old. Man, I'm training to be a pastor, and I'm going, what the hell have I done to piss you off? I meant it. And in my heart, you know what I heard? And I'm right here. And I'm right here. And I would yell out, why the hell does it have to be so hard? And I hear in the depth of my heart, and I'm right here. And when everything collapsed in my life, that following Saturday, my oldest sister from Edmonton came down to Camrose. And she found me in the basement of the house, and we walked halfway down to the barn. Remember, down that main lane, we got halfway, and she stopped. And she said to me, I want you to think about what Joshua's life, he was 13, I want you to think about what Joshua's life would be like if you weren't in it. My oldest sister didn't come out and say, I think you're going to take your life. And she was worried that I would. And I fell on my knees. And she turned around and went back, got her car, went back to it, and left me standing, like standing there in the middle of the farm, right? Middle of the farm, on that land. You know, the land of my parents, my siblings, and Maureen, and my kids, and me, and where a last land I'd given my life to. And all the weight and everything, man, my knees buckled. My hands went forward, and my forehead hit the ground, and I started to cry like I'd never cried before in my life. Finally, now I'm starting to cry, Mary. Right? I started to cry like I'd never cried before in my life. And I cried out. To God, and I said, I'm done with this life. And it's the most real, most raw prayer I've ever prayed in my life. I cried out to the one who made me, and I said, I'm done with this life, and I meant it. There's never been a more raw, more real prayer that I prayed in my life when I cried out to the one in me and I said, I'm done with the snake of life you gave me. And I'd be perfectly fine if you took my life right now. And in that moment, I sensed this presence of unconditional love and mercy. Man, just came right over me and just absolutely bathed me. And I heard in my heart these words, Colin, my son, I love you. Colin, my son, I love you. And I sensed my dad's presence with me, right? Remember, my dad had died 12 years before. I sensed my dad's presence right here. Okay? Right here. And what I heard in my heart, my dad say to me. Okay, remember, I've lost the farm, right? I've lost his farm. The boy, and I know people say, how do you know, right? Let me tell you, when you worked alongside someone for 33 years, you recognize their voice. It was his voice, and I heard it clear in my heart. He said, Colin, my son, get up. Get up. And just put one foot in front of the other. And then I also sensed the presence of Jesus, who had been walking beside me my whole life. He just simply reached down and picked me up on my arm. He said, we're not done walking. He didn't say, you're not done walking. He said, we're not done walking this journey of life. And the best part of my story is my life continued to go to crap. And that's the absolute best part of my story. It would have been so wrong. Dick Martha would have got it all back. Right? The best part of my story is that my life continued to be crap. I continued to lose stuff. I continued to drink. I continued to be stupid. Man, life just continued to get harder and harder and harder. I remember telling the bailiff one day. He said to me, you seem to be doing remarkably well with all this stuff. I said, you know what? I said, you can take away my farm. You can take away my family. You can take away my friends. You can take away my pastoral work. You can take away everything, but you can't touch what I know in here. Can't touch what I know in here. I used to say to people, you can take what I know in here to the bank. They won't repossess it. 46 years old, man, I finally came to know who I really am. And let me tell you, what's your name?
Hans.
Hans?
Yep.
Hans, your worth and your value as a man has nothing to do with your achievements or your failures in this world. Your worth and your value has absolutely nothing with what you will do out here. Your worth and your value is if you're God's son. That's what your worth and your value is. Your
worth and your value is in the one who made claim in your life. It took me 46 years. I had to be stripped of everything to have to learn that. Am I grateful? That's why I say I'm so darn happy, right? Yeah. Because now I can lose everything, right? And I'm fine. Yeah. Does that make any sense? I well off topic. See what happens when I get going. Let me tell you.
The first time it surprised me.
And let me tell you, folks, man, I can go for another hour, right? I'm different.